coming on out for Sunday school. We're going to get started, and as we had advertised, we have Pastor Biette here and families across the back row. We're welcoming them from way far away in Yukon territory or somewhere near there up in Fairbanks, Alaska. And we're glad he's here. He's going to give us an update in Sunday school here on his mission work there to Fairbanks, and then Jason will be preaching for us in our worship service. So I want to give him the fullest amount of time, so I'm just going to pray, and we're going to have him come up and dive right into his presentation for us. Father God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your grace. It's your day. You are indeed Christ our King. And we worship you today. We praise you. We thank you. Father, we thank you for all the blessings that flow from your kingdom to us. And we ask that you'd go before all of us here in this Sunday school hour. We thank you for Jason, Lord, for his life, for his calling, for his family. And we pray that you'd bless them. And Lord, watch over him today in his presentation and anoint him and utilize him this day in the worship service. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's so good to see everybody and to be back here with you again. It feels like it's a new year for us, but technically we were here in January, so we're still in the same year. But it is a new year, isn't it? Because it's been quite a year. And I know it's been quite a year here. It's been quite a year up in Fairbanks, and one of the things I think is I've had the opportunity to speak with some of the saints out in Somersworth, New Hampshire, and in Ithaca last week, is that we all, as the church, we have this shared experience now, as we've all, by God, in God's providence, have been trying to figure out how to be the church in this new set of circumstances that we find ourselves in. And that's no different than what is going on in Fairbanks. So what I want to do is I want to give time for questions, but I do want to give you a brief year in review. And as one of the ministers in Anselm Presbytery said when I was at Presbytery back in September, he said his church report could literally just have COVID written on the top, and he wouldn't need to give any other information because that's what the year entailed for the church. This is a picture of my wife and I. This was on Valentine's Day in downtown Fairbanks. I'm pretty sure we actually went to dinner on Valentine's Day this year. That's a little Greek restaurant in downtown Fairbanks. We had a wonderful time. You can see the big smiles on our faces. This is before we kind of really knew COVID was a thing and had to figure out what life was going to be like. There's lots of opportunities in Fairbanks. There's lots of culture in Fairbanks. It's really fascinating. It's still fascinating to me how many different ethnicities are in a place like Fairbanks. And so there's all these different ethnic centers in terms of restaurants. And I wouldn't have expected that going to a place like Fairbanks. But for whatever reason, all different kinds of people have ended up there, and they make their life there, and they do what you would expect people to do in other places. They open up businesses, and they have restaurants, and they do all kinds of things. If I was going to highlight this past year and the work that we've been doing, some of the highlights are the same as I talked to you before. We're still working on liturgy and worship, but I think personally a big highlight by God's grace is that we maintained worship. We maintained worship throughout the year with the same kinds of restrictions and the same kinds of mandates and the same kinds of things being shut down. We had a small window of 4 or 5 weeks where I was streaming the service. And for us, the only reason that happened is because we're renters. And so our landlords, based on the decisions that they were making, would shut down the facility. And so as renters, when that happened, we don't have other options. But we went from maybe 4 or 5 weeks of streaming the service to a parking lot service through Easter, and then to being back inside. And this all took place at a new location. That's a picture of the room that we're renting before we had moved in. We had been scouting for a new location basically since I got there. The main reason we were scouting for a new location is that we really felt, and I really felt, that we should move to morning services. And because we were renting a church sanctuary, we were meeting at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And moving to morning services, I really think, would be ideal for what we're hoping to do, which is grow the church. And so I was talking to people and other ministers, and what happened was we were renting a Methodist church, and as COVID stuff started to come into play, I knew that that Methodist church was going to be shut down. And so I started pulling some of my contacts and found a room for rent at another church in a secondary building that they had. And they were more than willing to rent us that space with actually a little bit more practical usage, a kitchen, a couple of classrooms, for the same amount we were paying the Methodist church for just the sanctuary. So that was really helpful. The interesting thing about what happened with the Methodist church is that we got to have one more service in their sanctuary than they did, because their regional bishop shut down all the churches for services. That was her initial shutdown. I didn't say her, by the way. All right, that was her initial shutdown. And then she kept the facilities open. So we were a renter of the facility. So we had a Sunday where we got to have worship by God's grace, and the Methodist church did not. But then the next week she shut down all the facilities. And as far as we know, they still have not gone back into their facility. At this point, they had a handful of parking lot services over the summer, but that's a denominational thing. So I'm sure everybody knows, as this has been playing out, you've got civil magistrates, but then you've got denominations, and everybody's just making different decisions. So we were thankful we were able to get into the new location. We were able to put together our new schedule that I presented to the congregation back in January. And that schedule included having a couple of Sunday schools a month and having some directed fellowship time. And so those are some highlights. We can talk more about that in a bit. And then I was able to connect with the Christian Pregnancy Center in Fairbanks and start working as a volunteer chaplain with them. I think I got one Monday in on site, and then they had to shut down. And then they had months and months, and then they opened back up. And so I'm back there every other Monday, and maybe I'll talk about that in a little bit more detail as well. Yeah, here it is right here. This is Find Out Free Pregnancy Center in Fairbanks. They operate just like any faith-based Christian pregnancy center that you might be familiar with. They have a whole slew of different support services that they provide for women who are pregnant and for families. And this is all provided for free of charge, as it is a non-for-profit, and they work entirely on their donations and gifts. They had a desire and a goal to provide chaplains to the clients and to the staff and volunteers. And so what we do, myself and another pastor in town, we trade off Mondays. They're open Monday through Thursday. Friday, they're closed. They originally were open Tuesdays through Fridays, but what they learned, they're right across the street from Planned Parenthood in Fairbanks, and on Monday is the day in Fairbanks that Planned Parenthood commits their murders. And so they decided that they should be open on Monday, and they decided that it might be prudent to have chaplains on the premise on Mondays. And so I'm very thankful to have that relationship with them and to be there. And I'll tell you, pray for them as much as you pray for, you know, any of this work, anywhere it happens. I do more chaplaincy work with the volunteers and with the staff than I do with clients, because it's hard work. You know, you have somebody come in and you counsel them and you confirm a pregnancy, and you, they leave and you may never see them again, and you don't know what's happening at that point. And so we're thankful. We've decided that our little congregation, this is going to be where we're really going to gear right now our ministry outside of the church and our support. There's lots of opportunities, but this is one where we feel we're most well suited to be connected with them. And I'm very thankful for the opportunity to be working with them. So January comes, and this picture is a little dark, but this is after we had started setting up to move inside. You see that we have use of a big screen TV, so we project the service now. In January, we came back from our trip here, and we had our first congregational, it was our second congregational meeting, but it was a congregational meeting where we were going to lay out, I was going to lay out for the congregation where I was hoping that we would go. One of the things I did, I told the congregation that they really needed to start to think of themselves as a church plant, which they hadn't, because they had already had a founding pastor and they had already had a congregation of 30 or 40 people. And so you tend to think of yourself as, well, now you're a church. But that all changed. And if you remember from last year, I told you one of the statistics about Fairbanks is they say Fairbanks has 95% turnover every 3 years of the population. So there's two big military bases, right? And then there is a large campus for the University of Alaska. And then there's a whole bunch of people who think they want to live in Alaska and they move to Fairbanks and 6 months later they leave. And they see this every 3 years, this 95% turnover. I have a very close friend who is pastor of the Southern Baptist Church in town. He's been pastor there for 5 years, and he has a completely different congregation than he had when he started. So this makes it very difficult to build up leadership within the church, to do discipleship. All these things are kind of in play. And I had my congregation, I said, look, we need to start thinking of ourselves as a church plant, and you all are the core group. Right, you're the group, when a church plants, you're the group that comes in and says, we're totally sold out, and we're going to totally give 110%. And I said, you're the core group, even though you didn't choose to be the core group. And I think that was a really good conversation to have with the congregation, because it changed their perspective in terms of looking at, okay, who are we, and what do we have to do at this point in our history? And after I had that conversation with them, I talked about my goals for this year, for 2020, I really felt like we needed to increase our attendance by 25%, and I asked the congregation to start praying specifically for that. And in our numbers, that literally meant 4 or 5 people or one family. That would be an increase of 25%. So that gives you an idea of kind of where we're at numbers-wise. I can report that after that meeting, we have a young couple who I think it's very possible by the end of the calendar year they'll become members. We're very, very thankful for that. I can also report that we have a family of, is it 6 kids, Jessica?
7.
7 kids. And they've been attending very, very regularly. The father works in the mine, so he has these weird swing shifts. But he's even been coming more regularly. And they're more from a Reformed Baptist perspective. So in this family, just the mom is baptized. And I think, you know, we've been praying hard, I've had several conversations, I think we might have a Sunday before the end of the year where we do 5 or 6 baptisms. And so we're really hopeful, and we're really praying for that. And we see that as fruit from laying out the goal and the vision and praying specifically for that. And we got the new location, which was an essential piece of the puzzle for us being able to move to a morning service. And we are on track to have our first morning service on January 3rd. And so we're very thankful for that. And I'd ask you to keep that in prayer as well. Our new schedule I talked about for several months now. We've been having Sunday school. Jessica will do a catechism class with the children. I'll teach a couple of quote-unquote adult Sunday schools a couple of times a month. Basically, our schedule is the first Sunday of the month, we have a fellowship meal after church. Second and third Sundays of the month, we have Sunday school and catechism class. Fourth Sunday, and that's before church. Fourth Sunday of the month, we have a coffee fellowship before church. And one of the reasons we broke it up that way is because it is, in terms of time, it's a big commitment asking this congregation to start coming to something every week for an hour before church. And the other reason, to be quite honest, I broke that up is I have my own time constraints in what I'm able to do and prepare and put together each week. I continue to work with Liberty. That has been very, very beneficial. As you might expect, being an online school, they've seen a huge bump in enrollment this year. And so I've got about 280 students right now. And so that's a huge time commitment. And I'm very thankful that God's allowed us to kind of do all these things in little steps. But it's all been movement forward. We're thankful for that. And then continue to do outreach to the community and ministry. Ministry, as I said, a big part of that is the pregnancy center. And then just working on the congregation and talking about being good neighbors and being friends and just having that love for those who are around you and just showing that forth. And so we're constantly working on and through those things. COVID got us inside into our new location, and this is how we set up for the first several weeks after we got inside. So you can see it's a pretty big space. If you've paid attention to a couple of the other pictures, you know this is from the front. So there's the TV screen would be kind of off screen of this picture. Basically, we had a small enough congregation that we were able to move inside before a lot of churches, just because our numbers were such that we could house our families and still have the social distancing in place. And so we literally put like nameplates on the rows. So families would come in, they'd get their communion bag, get anything else they needed, and then they'd go to their row and they'd stay there until after the service. And so that worked very well. That was only in place for a short period of time. The governor in Alaska has treated some of this maybe a little bit differently than some of the other governors have treated it. Back then in Alaska, it wasn't as acute of an issue. The last I've heard the governor report, even though our infection rates have gone up, our hospitalizations and our mortality rate has still been the lowest of any state. So there's some of this interesting politics that are in play. But that gives you an idea of how we set it up for several weeks. And we did do a streamed service from my living room, which was interesting, and I still don't like the way I look when I'm recorded. But I guess when I'm not recorded, that's your problem and not my problem. So, but we got through that, and we had, I have a picture in a bit. We had parking lot services, of course. All those parking lot services were in the snow, because we have snow right up through till May. So in February, I had started to do the work of purchasing an FM radio transmitter. And so we were all set when we went to the parking lot to be able to use that. Everybody else got to stay in their warm cars. And I was out there making sure I didn't fall and slip on the ice that was underneath my feet. And my you can ask my family. We had one Sunday. Which song was it? Okay, so everything's a cappella for us at this stage, right? It was even a cappella when we moved into the room. We did have a local church donate an organ, a beautiful organ, which we've had for months now. We have an organ player, so we're not a cappella anymore, and that's a huge blessing. But when you're streaming a service or when you're doing a parking lot service or any of that stuff, it's just me singing. And we got to the point where there was this one response, and I started to sing. And I knew as soon as I sang the first note that I had shanked it really hard. I have no idea what note it was, but it wasn't the right note. And I just proceeded to kind of do like a jazz riff and make up literally the whole rest of the song, the whole way through. I it was all I could do. I have no idea. So my family is in our car here. There's five other cars here. I have no idea what's happening in those vehicles, but I can look and I can hear my family laughing uproariously at me because they're sitting there saying, "What is he singing?" But we got through it. Nobody else said anything to me about the song, so maybe some people liked it. I don't know. But it was certainly interesting. These are interesting times. And then you see there we've got the schedule that we have in place that we're very, very thankful for, again, that we can have that schedule in place now. That's a picture of, gives you a bit of idea what our parking lot looked like as we had our parking lot services. And that's all snowpack. We're continuing to provide for public worship of God, continuing to reach out and have ecumenical relationships with the other teachers, pastors and churches. I have two pastors in particular in town that have been a real boost for me. And I'm very thankful for the relationships that I have with them. And continue to work with Find Out Free Pregnancy Center. There are other Christian ministries in town. And there's a lot of Christian ministries in town. I'm still amazed at how many churches there are in a place like Fairbanks. I really am. There's lots and lots of churches. There's a really strong Christian presence in a place like Fairbanks. But as you all know, especially this past year, we live in a world right now where the Christian church is going in an infinite number of directions. And so just to have a couple of pastors who are obviously from different traditions, but we're on the same page in terms of the Bible being the Word of God and wanting to support each other and each other's congregations, that's just been a huge shot in the arm for me and for our congregation. These last few slides, I just wanted to give everybody a bit of an idea of what life looks like for us. I'm pretty sure these are pictures that would have been taken after we returned last January. You do a lot of ice fishing in the winter. There's a couple of options in the winter. Ice fishing is one of them. Cross-country skiing is one of them. Having stuff freeze on your face is a third option. And so we've got all those captured there. And Josiah's sitting over a hole with probably some hot chocolate, trying to catch fish. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. Either way, you're always cold by the end. And I think that's Ruthie, who was cross-country skiing, and she only fell a couple times. This is more recent pictures. Here you can see, and then the picture with myself and the kids, that's the Alaska Range in the background. Really beautiful day. That was our trip back up from Wasilla. Wasilla is about 45 minutes north of Anchorage, and that's where we had Presbytery this year. And again, we were blessed in that most of the guys from the Anselm Presbytery were able to fly into Alaska, and we were able to have our presbytery. So that was a beautiful shot we had. A picture of Ruthie with the chicken. We did move to a new house in May, and we were able to raise some meat chickens this year, which is something we got into back in Virginia. And so we had Chicken Day. And then, of course, lots of fishing. You see Josiah and Ruthie, and Josiah with his 20-inch rainbow trout that him and I ate when we were camping. And that's us trying to moose hunt. And we tried, but that's about as far as we got, just trying. But it was a good couple of weeks trying to get out and do what we did there. These are some shots. I wanted to give you some shots from our congregation. This is some fellowship time we had this past fall. This would have been, I think, in September. And we got together and had a meal and had a bonfire at somebody's house. And so you can see we've got a good group, lots of kids, several large families, and just a really warm and loving congregation. Everybody's doing their best to put their nose down and just make life work in Fairbanks. My friend I told you about, his name is Rodney. He's a pastor of the Southern Baptist Church. He is fond of always saying, You can do anything you want in Alaska. It's just harder. And that's really what it is. If you talk to any of these families, everybody's making life go. They're working. But there's just other things you have to think about all the time. And if you don't think about them, there's some disaster you end up having to fix after the fact. And that has almost everything to do with the weather. This was a fellowship meal we had inside. This would have been one of our first Sunday fellowship meals. And again, you can see lots of little kids and lots of families. So our room is multi-purpose. It starts out as the sanctuary. And then when we have fellowship meals, we tear the chairs back and we put the tables out. And we have a kitchen that we have full use of that's right off of the big room. So it's been very convenient for living life together, which has been one of my mottos with the congregation. We just want to do our best to live life together. And then just a couple of last pictures. You may have heard Ruthie finally got her book. We're very thankful for that and proud of her. She got the publishing process went through to the end, and she's got her books and ready to move on to other stories. And that picture of my wife and I, it's cut off, but the Alaska Range is back there. And you may have heard that top right-hand corner, that's the ultrasound for baby boy Biette that will be coming sometime at the end of February or beginning of March. We're getting some mixed signals from different professionals as to when she's actually due. So we feel very blessed and are thankful for all that God is doing in our lives. That's a shot of our new house. It's a rental. Our landlords have been very accommodating, and it's been a good move for our family in terms of being able to move out of the townhouse and be in downtown and kind of move outside of town. We're about 15 minutes outside of Fairbanks now. And of course the kids enjoy having the yard, the backyard, the front yard, and the chicken coop and all things that are there for our use. And so we feel very blessed that God was able to put us into that house. And we're very thankful for the wood stove. It has been enjoyed this past winter. We have, as we had last January, we've got our mailing list. If you're not on it and you'd like to be, I try to send a quarterly update. I think Ruthie's got a sign-up list back there for anybody who might be interested in her book. And there's our contact information. Does anybody have any questions? What's that?
It's in North Pole.
Yes, we live in North Pole now. Yes. Santa Claus is literally 10 minutes. Like, I mean that literally. He's like 10 minutes away. And there's several Santa Claus-themed road names that are official. Joe?
Fairbanks, what's the population?
It is anywhere, depending on who you talk to and what you look up, anywhere from 30 to 50,000. I think that 30,000 is the number for the city proper, which would have been, the years we spent in Virginia, we were close to Charlottesville. Charlottesville was 30,000, right? Yeah, so, but Charlottesville is like real tight, real small, right? Fairbanks, even the city, is pretty spread out. But then what you have is, in Alaska, they have boroughs, not counties. And Fairbanks is in Fairbanks North Star Borough. And so my guess is, as you move out in the surrounding area from Fairbanks, that's how the number gets up closer to 50. So, but that's what people say, 30 to 50,000.
How about homeless? Is there homeless?
There's a huge...
You got a rescue
there's a huge mission? Yes, there is a rescue mission. There's a women's shelter that I think is run by the Salvation Army. There is a rescue mission that is its own standalone facility and organization. Homelessness is a huge problem up there. Alcoholism and drug abuse are huge problems up there. And so when you take that and you combine it and you put it together and then you combine that with winters, it's something that everybody's always aware of and people are trying to do something about. But it's as you know, it's not a problem that just gets fixed easily. Yes?
Jason, what's the pregnancy center, FYND? Does that stand for something?
Yeah, it does, FYND. Do you remember, Jessica?
For your next decision.
For your next decision. They have, it's interesting to me because I haven't been involved with the pregnancy center for years now, and I think the whole pregnancy center movement has shifted a little bit. They're very, very big into branding themselves, and so they over the last 5 years, they've done this whole campaign to kind of brand themselves instead of being, like, they don't even like to use the term crisis pregnancy center anymore, which I didn't know, and I think on some level probably makes sense. But they've really branded themselves as a faith-based healthcare facility to provide services for women and families. Yes, Dad. Right. So there's you can get tags or permits for subsistence, and that's really there. And we're not even just talking about like the native population, just Alaskans. There are a lot of Alaskans who literally hunt and fish for food. It's how they fill their freezers, and it's always a lot of hard work. But if you get subsistence permits, as far as I know, they don't let them do fish wheels anymore. You could put like this big contraption in a river when the salmon run, it would just almost like a windmill or a water wheel. It would just pick up the fish and dump them into a chute. There are a few that are still operational because they're grandfathered in, but you can get a subsistence dip netting permit so that you have to be a resident. When the salmon are running, you get these, they're huge nets, and you just go and you literally just scoop up the fish as they're running up the river. And depending on which river system you're fishing in, how many people are in your family, you get a different number that you're allowed to get. And then there's the same kind of subsistence with hunting. Caribou herds, they keep a really tight count on caribou herds, but if the initial hunting season they don't get the quota, they may open that herd back up for winter hunting because people are literally taking caribou for food. So the closest herd to Fairbanks is the 40-mile herd, and they didn't have as many taken this past fall season. The season starts August 15th. And so right before we left, I found out they opened it up for the winter hunt, and you could get a permit to go out anywhere from an hour to an hour and a half outside of Fairbanks. And if you can find them, you can shoot one. But if you're doing the winter hunt for the herd, it really is people who need the food because it's literally 40 below, and you literally need a snowmobile. Because it's not like you can just pull off the road and walk out to the caribou and find them and shoot them. So that's in place. Regular regulations in terms of that stuff, obviously it's big business in Alaska. It's very, very complex. There's nothing easy even about the laws and the regulations. We have a gentleman, that picture of Josiah and I, we have a gentleman in our church who owns 160 acres, and he was happy for us to come out and try to get a moose on his land. His land is an any bull area, which is nice because you don't have to measure a certain width. But because it's any bull, the season is September 1st to September 15th, which is super early season. And when you're that early, you don't tend to see a lot of bull, which we didn't.
Yeah,
We didn't see any. So that they've got all these different things in place. And then the native peoples, they have all kinds of subsistence open to them. And they're allowed to harvest, whether through hunting and fishing or through foraging, all kinds of stuff that we would think, like, wow, like, okay, so do you eat a lot of seal? Right. And they do, and they're allowed to harvest it. And polar bear, they're allowed to take gull eggs, right? So they've got a whole other culture in terms of subsistence living that has been kind of written in to the laws for them in terms of it being a way of life for them. Nebel.
Why did they take out their fishing rod?
They have seen decreases. They have these complex electronic contraptions, they call them gates, at different points in the river so that they can get a pretty accurate count of how many salmon are running every year. And over the years, as they've seen that number decline, they had to put things in place to make sure the resource didn't get fished out. The declining has a lot to do with commercial fishing. So if you can get a bunch of them out in the ocean before they run up the rivers, and the commercial fishing has a lot to do in terms of other countries and international waters, and so it gets kind of complex and hairy. But on their end, they thought at least one of the things they could do is minimize, because it's really easy. I mean, you just put that fish wheel, and as they run, you're just scooping them up. So they've had some resurgence the last few years. They've had some big numbers. So we did get. Oh, go ahead.
Just a quick question: when you're out there with the salmon, obviously the bears know when they're running. Also, do you really have to worry about them as well?
Always have to worry about bear in Alaska, wherever you're at. Now, not right now, because they are truly in their caves for the winter. But any other time, anywhere, you really shouldn't go out without a bear gun, whatever you choose that to be, in the spring, summer, and fall. I've been told if you're in an area like Kodiak, the bear are so full of salmon that they don't even pay you any mind. Like, literally, you can pass them on the trail. They're coming up from the river completely full, and they're going to find a place where they can sleep, and you're going down to see if you can salvage any of those fish. So there is that kind of interesting dynamic. But the rest, anywhere in Alaska, you've got to be aware of bear, and you've got to carry firearm. Yeah, when we go out with the kids, we make sure everybody's in sight, which is not always the easiest thing to do with some of them anyway. But so, And we did get a pretty big snowstorm right when we were leaving. But as New Yorkers, I thought you would appreciate this. We got 15 inches, and that's a big snowstorm to them. And I'm thinking, why is everybody acting like this? Like, and it's light snow, but they're not used to getting, it was the most amount of snow they got in a 24-hour period since 1970. So what we do is we get 2-3 inches a day, every day, for 9 months. But we don't get, a foot and a half, or usually. Anibal?
If a bear bothers your surroundings around your home, can you shoot it, or do you have to get a permit?
You don't. You can't. You are allowed to shoot a bear in self-defense under any circumstances. But you have to know that if you're going to do that, they're going to investigate, and they're going to ask you every question they can. They're going to want to know, did you do everything you could up to that point before you pulled the trigger? So you have every right to shoot a bear in self-defense, but your life is going to be a lot more complicated for a little while after that. That's how it plays out.
So how can you deter them?
With black bear, you basically stand your ground, make yourself look bigger, and make a lot of noise. You really do. And in 9 times out of 10 with a black bear, they're going to turn around and go the other way because they don't want to deal with you. If you're in a group of people, they say group up so you look like a bigger, you know, put your arms way up in the air and yell and scream. So yeah, with black bear, it's not, with grizzly, all bets are kind of off. There's no deterring grizzly. I mean, and they have bear spray, right? So some people will carry bear spray. And bears don't like it, but yeah, it's, so, I mean, we have cans of bear spray, but I've always got other things with me. So, yeah. Right, yeah, the moose, there's a lot of locals that think the moose are more dangerous than the bear. Moose are a strange animal, and they're not bright. And they get surprised easily because they can't see in front of them because their eyes are over here. Right, and their heads are so big that they have this blind spot right in front of them. So if you happen to be on a trail and a moose is walking the trail towards you and you're walking at it, it can't see you. And then if it turns its head, it just happens to catch, it kind of freaks out. And then a lot of times they'll just run right at you. And you don't want to deal with moose when they have, the cows when they have a calf. They're, yeah. So moose are, yeah. it's an interesting and exciting place to live. We're probably about out of time, so. Thank you so much. Oh, let me just say, we are so thankful for your prayers and your support. I just want you to know that you are doing ministry in Fairbanks just by praying for us and supporting us, and we feel it and we know it, and the church needs other churches. The church up there, our congregation, needs you all to constantly be praying for us, and we're just very thankful to be ministry partners with you on this endeavor. So thank you, and God bless you.
Father God in heaven, thank you, Lord, for your grace to us, and thank you for this wonderful world that you've created, all these different places and all these different creatures, great and small. You're Lord and King over every place and every creature, and certainly, Lord, you are our God and King and Savior, and we praise you and thank you for that. Lord, thank you for the presentation today, and prepare us for worship, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.